Speaking of all-time greats, what a goal. How good is he?
If you're David Mundy, you can do anything.
Brayshaw. Oh, he goose-stepped beautifully. And a couple. Herky-jerky, shake and bake. Magnificent.
That's right. Welcome back to the Flag Mantle podcast. I'm your host, Stuart Sterling, and we're going to be getting into a lot of stuff. I've been away. There has been a break here at TAFE. Cannot access the studios for about 3 weeks. So I am back for another episode on the other side of that break. And I'm really, really happy to be back because the Fremantle Dockers have put themselves in a lovely position. We sit fifth on the ladder right now. We're on equal points as Brisbane and Essendon, and the race for the top four is well and truly on. We've got six more games to go this year before we hit finals, before we get to September, the good part of the season, and I think it's safe to say we're going to be taking part in finals. If everything goes to plan, we could even be top four. So that would be absolutely fantastic. We're going to be talking about the form over the last few weeks. The win to Sydney, the loss to Hawthorn, and everything in between. We're also going to be talking about the Sean Darcy and Luke Jackson situation. What's going on there? How's it working? Is it working? We're going to find out way, way more later in the show. And on top of that, the AFL Tribunal has been handing out bans left, right, and center for some pretty basic tackles. We've also got some trade stuff to go on. Plenty of trade stuff. There's been so much going on in terms of off the field this year. There's a lot to intake here. Caleb Sarong and Andy Brayshaw were reportedly having a meeting with a Richmond player. We're going to get into that a little bit later. Also, the mock draft from Cal Toomey. Who should Fremantle be targeting? Who's in their range? What picks do we have at the moment? We've just got so much to cover, so stick with me as we get through it. But a little update here from myself and the Flag Mantle podcast. Going forward, this is going to be on Boom Radio. I've got one of the overnight shifts to fill with this podcast. So that means the general, the setup, the structure is going to be slightly different just so I can fit it onto a radio show. And it means a lot of Americans, because it's going to be overnight from like 12 to 3 or something. All these Americans are going to get to learn about the Fremantle Dockers. So hopefully we can convert a few Yanks into Dockers fans, because the more the merrier, I say. The more we get on this bandwagon, the merrier. And with it being a Boom podcast, you can expect more regularity with it. I'm kind of more locked into the podcast now because it's part of my course now. So I really have no excuse not to get it done. I've booked time in the studio every week. Unless these bloody Cert 3s get in the way, then obviously, I might not be able to record then. But we have found the studio time today. It is 10:46 in the morning for me on Thursday. Teams aren't out yet, so I cannot give you an update on that. But they will be coming out much, much later. And I have the pleasure of joining the Premiership Quarter, which is Boom Radio's newest football talk show. Think SEN, think 6PR, because that's the style we're going for, and it is purely football. So every Friday morning, 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock, set your calendars, wake up with the Premiership Quarter, because we're going to be talking all things footy. We're going to be bringing up stats, opinions, news. We're going to have callers in. We're going to have interviews. The absolute works is going to be on this show. I'm super excited to get into that tomorrow morning. So if you don't have the TuneIn app, I would download that. Search up Boom Radio and set your calendars for 7 a.m. every Friday morning as we walk you through the footballing news. But we are going to be getting into the Fremantle review over the last few weeks in the next segment. So stay with me for that here on the Flag Mantle podcast, just right around the corner. Let's go! Yes, welcome back to the Flag Mantle podcast. We're going to be talking about all the form that has gone on since I've been gone. And I had a little bit of a look and I left at about round 14. Since then, there have been 5 games to have been played. Let me bring those up. We started off with a pretty disappointing loss against the Bulldogs post-bye in round 14. Over at Marvel Stadium, 149-82, the Dogs won that one by 67 points. That was pretty disappointing. I couldn't watch the last, 5 minutes of it. I was just flat out upset. That was probably not the standard of game we are used to as Fremantle fans. Nothing really worked. We got dominated around the ball. Bontempelli obviously had his flu game, and that led to the Bulldogs getting a massive upset over the Fremantle Dockers. 67 points is nothing to sneeze at. That was pretty upsetting. Then we came home the next week and we played the Gold Coast Suns, who don't travel at all. They leave everything at home at Metricon or whatever it's called now. And the Fremantle Dockers win this one 85-65. This was a much improved performance from the Dockers. Although the Suns are easy beats outside of the Gold Coast, they fought pretty hard for their 15 scoring shots to our 25. So we should have ran over the top of them in reality, but they just kicked goals from everywhere and we couldn't really put them through the big sticks. But the result in the end was a Fremantle win. This was one of Hayden Young's better games. 24 disposals, 3 goals, 4 marks, 2 tackles, 4 clearances, which you love to see from Hayden Young. He's turning into a bit of that mid-forward connection for us that we've struggled with in the past. Just able to lead or kick into the leads of Josh Tracy, Jai Amos, and Luke Jackson, and Voss when he plays there as well. So fantastic all-round performance from Young, not just in this game, but over the course of these last few weeks. Hayden Young has been one of our more important players. Then we move on to probably the upset of the season to this point. The Dockers went all the way over to the SCG and they pants the Swans in the first half. Absolutely pants them. And we knew the Swans were going to come back with a bit of bite in the second half, but the Dockers were good enough to hold on. In the third quarter, the Swans kicked 7-3 to Fremantle. 5 straight. That's holding on if I've ever seen it. Then the last quarter was 3-3 to 1-4. We very well could have blown that game, but fortunately we managed to hang on for the 4 in what was probably one of my favorite games as a Fremantle fan. It always seems to be against the Swans, the 2013 prelim as well being my other favorite game. But I digress and we move on to the Richmond game. Now, this was a pretty shocking game to watch. I was very fortunate to partake in the watching of this game in a box. So thank you very much to Dad for helping sort that out. But we did beat the Tigers in the wet, and it was boring. Josh Tracy kicked 5 straight, which was probably the only fun thing that happened all week, all game. Shea Bolton kicked 4-3. We'll get into him a little bit later. Hayden Young kicked 2-1, 24 touches, 5 marks, 3 tackles, 2 clearances. Once again, being used as more of a connector midfielder / half forward. He's been really, really vital for us these last few weeks. So the Dockers win that one by 51 points. And of course, we have the most recent game. The Fremantle Dockers travel all the way down to Launceston to play the Hawthorn Hawks. And we lose this game by 13 points on the back of some poor conversion. 10-14, 74 plays, 39-87. So it was 22 scoring shots to 24. We had the upper hand for the majority of this game, but halfway through the last quarter, the Hawks just broke through. James Sicily being thrown forward was the difference. Sam Mitchell is a fantastic coach. But let's listen to what Brennan Cox has to say.
The fight for the top 8 and even down to where they were in the ladder is so close. Just feels like every week there's so much to play for.
Yeah, definitely. Every game's a big game. The eight's so close. I think I've got two or three losses for us, and we're out. But we've been in really good form, so hopefully this is just like a little blimp and we can bounce back and, win the next game.
Yeah, pretty disappointed there, Coxie. It was a pretty hard game to play. The Hawks are one of the most informed teams in the competition at the moment, and they are impossible to play at Launceston. We played them, I think, 12, 13 times down at Launceston. Collingwood have played them zero times there, absolutely zero. They do not leave Melbourne. That is something that absolutely has to change. I don't think it's fair to be sending your WA clubs to Launceston when Melbourne clubs do not go there themselves. It's like a 45-minute flight. We have to fly for 6 hours. Speaking of that flight, news broke this morning that the Fremantle Dockers plane, the charter plane we had, lost water within the first 30 minutes of the flight. Players had to do their business, their bathroom business, in a basin for the remainder of the flight. I cannot imagine how stinky that plane was going to be. Not as stinky as the loss, but it sure was stinky. So, over the last... I've got some stats here. Over the last five games, the Fremantle Dockers are 3 wins, 2 losses. Losing to, of course, the Hawthorne Hawks and the Western Bulldogs. As compared to pre-round 14, we were 7 wins, 4 losses, and a draw, which is probably more the record we want. We really want to be peaking this time of year instead of falling away. And the majority of this fall away has been our defense. We'll get into the personnel in the next segment, but 89.4 over the last five games against 90.6 points against. So we're scoring more, but we're conceding significantly more. Contrast that to the first, I think, 13, 12 games. The points for, 81.9, so we're a goal better now. Points against, 67.5 as compared to 90.6. I'm just going to leave that with you there. We're going to talk about the defensive personnel in a second, just behind this break here on the Flagmantle Podcast. Yes, welcome back to the Flagmantle Podcast. You're still with Stuart Sterling. Nothing's changed. And I'm going to be talking a bit about the personnel that Fremantle have got around the club at the moment and who's in, who's out, what are the changes that's affecting this team at the moment. And I think the number one area for concern is our key defensive stocks. Alex Pearce and Brennan Cox have been in and out with injury. Probably hence the 90 points per game against over the last 5 weeks. We've played Hugh Davies and Josh Draper. Josh Draper obviously had an amazing last quarter against the Swans. He probably single-handedly saved that game for us when Hayden McLean was getting on top. Josh Draper said, nah, not on my watch. And he started singing like this. Wah-oh, free-o. I wanna hear ya. Heave-ho. Yeah, no, actually, that's just me singing. but that's how Josh Draper made me feel, because, oh my God, what a last quarter he played against the Swans. He hasn't quite refound that form, but just to know that he's able to do that is something to lock away for the long term, because he's going to be an absolute jet. Hugh Davies, on the other hand, probably looked a little bit lost. Yes, he's only played one or two games and was subbed out against the Swans and made way for Brennan Cox when Coxie came back. But since going back to Peel, I've heard people say he has looked absolutely amazing. Maybe playing AFL was the confidence he has needed to get his game going in the right direction. And speaking of the key backs, Alex Pearce is due to return this weekend. He obviously fractured his forearm a couple of weeks ago. He tried to make it for the trip down to Tassie and play in front of his friends and family. Unfortunately, was unable to do so, but he still went down there, supported the boys, and obviously was part of that plane debacle on the way back. But that's neither here nor there. He should be coming back against the Melbourne Demons. Not that they're the team you want to really have a key defense stocked up against, but you know, he's better in than he is out. So, you know, Josh Draper has served us fantastically well. Unfortunately, he will be probably getting dropped. By the time you hear this, you might see the teams already, so I could be completely wrong. But this will be the first time this year that Brennan Cox and Alex Pearce have shared a back line, and that just is so exciting for me, because I think 67.5 points in the first 12 games before that, without Brennan Cox there. So that was Josh Draper and Alex Pearce doing most of the heavy lifting. Now we've got Brennan Cox. So I think we're going to be absolutely flying. I think we should be peaking at the right time of the year. You might be thinking, oh, sure, Brennan Cox has played this year already. What do you mean it's the first time with Alex Pearce? Brennan Cox played forward in round one. Let's not forget that. He got injured as a forward. He played his first game back as a defender this year last week. So let's not get things twisted. Brennan Cox and Alex Pearce is one of the best 1-2 punches as key defenders in the competition. They're probably not as good as Lever and May. They're probably not as good as Andrews and is it Payne they've got? I mean, Andrews and anyone or... they're better than the Geelong backs, they're better than the Crows backs, better than the Lions, better than Wiedering and McGovern. I mean, Wiedering's a gun, but I would rank them quite highly in terms of key back combinations, so I'd be really excited to see that. Another one that we've got is Hayden Young. Hayden Young has transformed his game from halfback flanker who can intercept and rebound to inside midfielder who can win a clearance to hybrid half-forward midfielder who can kick goals, be a connector, lace people out from about 50 to 60 meters out and just be an absolute jet doing it, looking fantastic. He has transformed the way this team looks offensively, and maybe we're not getting the same edge defensively without Hayden Young there. I mean, we still got Chapman, we still got Walker to come back, we've still got Aish playing a fantastic role down there. We've got plenty of guys in our backline to cover for Young's absence, and I don't think that's much of a problem. So I think finding other guys for the midfield, Matt Johnson he's starting to lift. He's starting to become a really good footballer. So Hayden Young pushing forward just opens up so many options for this team. And some more of the options I will be discussing in the next segment is going to be Luke Jackson and Sean Darcy. Can they work? Can they play together? Are we paying them too much? All that and much more just round the bend.
Darcy didn't play at the weekend. Luke Jackson did. What does this mean for this ever intriguing partnership that Fremantle have got going forward? You've got some numbers to back up your thoughts.
Yeah, no, it was just more the fact that clearly both are quality ruckmen, quality players. But when you've got two blokes that are really good in one position, it sort of nullifies. And if you look at Jackson on the weekend, what he had 25 touches, 10 clearances. Mm. 15 ground ball gets, 6 tackles. Like that's a quality game for any midfield, let alone a ruckman. But then if you look at the numbers when he plays compared to when Darcy doesn't, when he's without Darcy, he averages almost 22 touches. He has 12 contested possessions. He hits the 20 possession mark. He's done it 6 of the 7 games that he's played without Darcy this year. And then if you look at the ones, with Darcy, he averages 14 touches. He halves his contested possession, goes to 6. And then he's never reached 15 disposals once in those games. So you look back and go, well, fair enough. Maybe if he's playing forward. So he's impacted the scoreboard more, Jackson, when Darcy's playing. When Darcy's playing, he's kicked 4 goals and he's had 5 score assists. That's what he averaged. Without Darcy, he's done the same. He's kicked 4 goals and had 5. So effectively what you're doing, you're paying $1 million for a player to rest him forward and have half the impact when Darcy's playing. Then whenever Darcy doesn't play, he goes into the middle, he stars, has 22 touches, has clearances, has contested possessions, tackles. His follow-up game is as good as any ruckman out there. So you should sort of sit back, and I know they've got a big decision to make because Jackson has got a long-term contract, Darcy's got a long-term contract, but you're limiting one of your strengths and playing him half the game out of his own proper position.
They're wedded to it though, aren't they? Like we've spoken about this that many times. Like Luke Jackson joined on a 7-year contract. Sean Darcy 6 months ago, basically 5 minutes ago, signed on for 6.
But That's what I mean. We know these days that contracts don't mean as much as what they used to. And if Darcy, but that's the thing, is Darcy's coming back in and he's playing the number one ruck role. So he's not going to go anywhere as long as he's starting to do that. But if I was Luke Jackson, I'd be sitting there going, understand it is a team game and I've got to earn my respect to get into that number one ruck role. But he's proven that he's a quality ruckman and he has more of an impact with the team when he's solely the ruckman and has a bit of a pinch hit forward.
That's proven, isn't it? Over time, he's always played his best stuff when the other ruckman hasn't been. That was the same at Melbourne too. Had some great games on the rare occasions that Max Gawn missed. He likes being the big man on campus.
Well, is there been any talk around there about Jackson? Or is anyone chasing him? Because Jackson's still a quality player.
I think Luke Jackson's, he signed a 7-year deal to come back to Western Australia. I think if anyone's going to move, it's not going to be him.
Darcy.
It's going to be Darcy.
He's not going anywhere. Probably.
No, it's going to be Darcy. I mean, would have widespread interest, of course. But again, re-signed on a 6-year deal at the end of last year. So that's something that the ball resides in Fremantle's court. That's their list management decision to make. And at the moment, publicly, certainly, they show no signs of deviating away from that. And Sean's got his injury issues at the moment, of course.
Yes, and that was Luke Hodge and Sammy Edmonds on SEN just over a month ago, actually. Way over a month ago. That was in May. So the conversation really hasn't changed. And I'd like to put my two cents in here just really quickly before we move on. I think the Hawthorn game on the weekend proved that we need Sean Darcy. Lloyd Meek had his absolute way with Luke Jackson, knocked him silly, destroyed him at clearance, destroyed him around the ground. You can look at the numbers, the fantasy points, and go, oh, Luke Jackson played a pretty good game, didn't he? But if you watched it, Lloyd Meek was an absolute game changer for the Hawks, and there was nothing we could do. Sean Darcy would have put his foot on Lloyd Meek's throat and pretty well quickly ended that stoppage debate, because I think Sean Darcy, his clearance work is far superior to Luke Jackson's. However, around the ground, Luke Jackson is so much better than Sean Darcy. It's just about figuring out how to manage the two, how to play the two together. I think once we find that perfect balance, people are going to be looking at this conversation like everyone was an idiot, because these two ruckmen are polar opposites of each other. There's no way we cannot figure out how this works, because they're both elitely talented players. It's not like we've got Gawn and Grundy on our hands, where it's two tap ruckmen that can't do anything else. Luke Jackson can play midfield. He can play full forward. I've been saying he should be playing centre-half back in Alex Pearce and Brennan Cox's absence, but that probably requires a whole preseason by itself. So I am fully on board the Luke Jackson and Sean Darcy. What's their nickname? Because I'm on their train. What's the nickname? Is it the Swag Dogs? Swag Dogs. Let's call them Swag Dogs because, geez, they're just Sean Darcy swaggy and Luke Jackson's the ruck dog or dogger or whatever he's called. So let's go with Swag Dog. I'm fully on the Swag Dog train. And how good was he getting in, though, Luke Jackson? I'm very happy with the price we paid and what we got for him, because he's only, 22? Sean Darcy's 26. They've still got 10 years to figure this thing out. So I'm really keen for the situation. But speaking of bringing players in, that's what we're going to be talking about just right around the corner. Let's go, let's go. Yes, you're still listening to the Flag Mantle podcast, and I have some news for you. Well, I don't have the news. I didn't break this at all. This was Cal Toomey and Riley Beveridge on formerly AFL Exchange and now Gettable.
I can also say today that star Dockers pair Caleb Sarong and Andrew Brayshaw were a part of a contingent of Dockers group that met with Liam Baker recently, right, when he was in Fremantle, so as part of the pitch there. So that's when the Tigers were in Perth a couple of weeks ago, and that's clearly something that he's got to weigh up.
So where do you reckon he goes then? Because you've been saying all year that it's pretty close between Freo and West Coast, and obviously Richmond has the offer on the table as well and wants to keep him. So yeah, where do you reckon he goes?
As you say, I think all year I've been pretty line ball about that one.
Yeah.
And I think it's been tight. So I think he goes. Mm. I think he goes. But we thought that 2 years ago and he ended up staying. Both clubs were well and truly in it 2 years ago and he ended up staying. I don't think he's going to stay this time. I think it's more a go, but just about which club goes. And Freo, as we just spoke about, has the picks.
So the two vice co-captains or the two... Andrew Brayshaw, Caleb Sarong, they met with Liam Baker to try and get him across. Obviously a star player at the Tigers. Didn't show a lot when we played them, but that would be a really interesting addition to our lineup. I wouldn't want to go and spend two first-round picks for Baker. I think a pick in the early to mid-teens is about right for him. He's out of contract, so Richmond, they do own his contract still. It's not like he can just get up and leave. Is he out of contract? I believe he's out of contract. If he's not, my bad. But Liam Baker, he would be a fantastic addition. He's a small little nuggety player. He can play half forward, half back, and in the midfield. Potentially, we see a spot for him on the opposing wing from Jeremy Sharp. He's got fantastic foot skills. He's a contest winner. He's a high IQ player, runs hard both ways. It's just... do Richmond want to part ways with a player like Liam Baker at this stage of the rebuild? Potentially, the more kids in the door, the better for the Tigers. But I think he would probably suit West Coast just a little bit better. I mean, they need that age range, that 22 to 28. That's the sort of age range the Eagles are looking at. And I know we're going for a flag tilt within the next 2 to 3 years, and Liam Baker could be a part of that here at Fremantle. So I'd be really excited to see what sort of role he'd be used at Fremantle, because he's a bit of a utility. He plays a bit everywhere. I think he's probably best half back, but if I'm being realistic, we're probably needing another small forward. So we'll see what the market on Baker dictates and how Fremantle plan to use him, because that's definitely going to come across in the trade package. If he's just going to be a small little crumbing forward, we're going to give up less as to opposed to perhaps an inside midfielder or a halfback flanker, because small forwards are probably the cheapest commodity in the AFL at the moment. Lachie Schultz went for a future first-round pick, which is going to turn into very likely a top-10 pick if Collingwood stay the way they are going, which, look, I mean, you know, thank you, Collingwood. Thank you, Lachie Schultz. But Liam Baker, I think he'd just be another one of these lock in the best 22, add more quality to the list while you've got the chance. I just really like the way he plays. He's hard, he's tough, he never backs down, he's clean, he's a good kick of the ball. He's a bit undersized, which could be a problem, but other than that, I think he's an absolutely fine player. Another piece of news in the trade space is Bailey Banfield. The Fremantle Dockers offered him a multi-year contract just a few weeks ago, and he is yet to put pen on paper. I'm starting to get worried, because Bailey Banfield has been one of our most consistent performers week in, week out. He's such a hard worker. He's a good kick on goal. He's smart. He's versatile. He can play back, wing, forward. He can do it all, Bailey Banfield. Don't forget, he was a Tagger in his first year, so I'd be really keen to fast-track that Bailey Banfield signing, get him under wraps for the next couple of years, and continue the flag push with my former tennis coach. But we're going to be talking a little bit about the Tribunal after this, and then we're going to wrap it up with a preview of the weekend's game, so stay tuned on the Flag Metal Podcast. Yes, welcome back to the Flag Mantle Podcast. I'm still here, haven't gone anywhere. You're with Stuart, by the way, in case you forgot. I didn't. I'm still here. I did not forget. But we're going to be talking about the AFL Tribunal. Some absolute shenanigans have gone on in the last few weeks. We'll like to start with Isaac Heaney. He got 1 week, ruined his odds at the Brownlow. just because he went to fend off on a chest and the defender slipped and knocked himself out. Yeah, lovely. Good one, AFL. Fantastic. That is totally reasonable and legit. And then the other two I want to talk about are Toby Bedford and Charlie Cameron. Now, I outsourced my opinions on these two tackles to some experts, and I went over to Fox Sports, and Will Schofield was seen on Fox Sports, and he talked about the Charlie Cameron tackle. Let's see what he's got to say.
With debate raging over dangerous tackles in the AFL, 2018 Premiership-winning Eagle, Will Schofield believes too much is being asked of tacklers. Both Giants midfielder Toby Bedford and Lions forward Charlie Cameron are taking their three-match suspensions to the appeals board.
We're asking players to do things that aren't realistic. And so we saw that by some of the rulings last night at the tribunal. The alternatives that players are being asked of aren't realities. Charlie Cameron can't sit Liam Duggan up into a seated position while tackling like that. So his only realistic attempt is to not tackle. And Bedford, same thing. The only alternate reality for him is to not tackle and let Tim Taranto run out of the stoppage without being tackled. So what I think we're asking players to do is too hard. And I think all of this has come about through, protecting the head, but that's legalities. And we're trying to change the product of our game, our beautiful game, to protect the legalities of this, AFL lawsuits. And I don't think that's a good spot for the game to be in.
100% agree with you there, Scoey. However, my only query on that is, of course, the Bedford tackle. I think Toby Bedford could have done a little bit more. But in terms of the whole, they're trying too hard to protect the head, I 100% agree. We're losing the fabric of the AFL. It's turning into a different sport. You're not allowed to tackle anyone because if their head touches the ground, you're not playing for a month. And, you know, Jack Buckley was supposed to be going to the Olympics to see his girlfriend compete. However, you know, Adam Kingsley said no, so I think he should just go around tackling people for a weekend and earn himself a holiday. But back on the Toby Bedford one, I follow Jack Viney's brother, Max Viney, on TikTok. He's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, and he works with AFL players to work on their tackling, getting out of tackles, all the contact stuff that you don't really think about as fans that players would need to train for. He trains it, and here was his opinion on the Toby Bedford one and what he would have taught Bedford to tackle.
Here's how Toby Bedford could have avoided his 3-week suspension for this dangerous tackle. I'm Max, I'm a jiu-jitsu black belt, and I teach footy players to make and break more tackles. If we break down the footage, we see that Toby executes what historically has been seen as a very good chase down tackle. He pins the arms, he avoids the ball getting out, and he drops his body weight to bring Taranto down to the ground. But because there's so much forward momentum, when Toby drops his weight through his hips, he forces Taranto to fall forward. And because his arms are pinned, his head makes strong contact with the ground. What Toby should have done is a knee slide chase down tackle. Here, we can see Patrick Cripps is in a nearly identical situation to Toby, but instead of dropping his weight through his hips when he makes the tackle, he instead slides his knees underneath his opponent's body. This gives him a base of support to lift his opponent off the ground, ensuring that the head stays safe.
So we've gone from no more bumps to no more sling tackles to no more tackles going to ground at all. And Max Viney makes a fantastic point. If you're able to go to his TikTok and find that video, the footage there is actually really helpful to understand what he's saying. Because Patrick Cripps, he sort of led with his legs in the tackle. Like, he put his legs out in front. And that way he could sort of drop the tacklee, the guy with the ball, onto the ground much more safely without, you know, going head first like Bedford did to Taranto. So that's just my opinion on it. I think we're going too far, but there are a few things that I think could be implemented to make the tackle safer and still keep the tackle intact. So I think there's a fine line here that needs to be found, but right now it's gone too far. So next up in the next segment, I'm going to be quickly reviewing the week ahead against the Melbourne Demons. Catch me there. Yes, welcome, welcome, welcome back to the final segment of today's Flag Mantle podcast. The Dockers are due to take on the Melbourne Demons at Sunday mid-afternoon. It's 1:20 p.m. at Optus Stadium. Hopefully the rain stays away, but we are playing the Melbourne Demons, who are starting to pick up form over the last few weeks. They currently sit at 8th on the ladder. They've snuck their way back into the 8th, and this is a monumental game for both teams. The Dockers wanting to finish in the top 4. The Melbourne Demons are charging back, looking to do exactly the same thing. Fremantle are favourites to win this game. They are the tipster's choice. And look, I'm going to be flat out and say I don't think Melbourne can come to Perth and compete. I think if Fremantle give their full performance, that they are going to win. And I really, you know, we beat them by 92 points at Alice Springs. I don't think it's going to be that. I think we're going to have a much more competitive game. But on the selection front, I think we've got three players to come in. We've got Alex Pierce, we've got Sean Darcy, and we've got Brandon Walker. If they can all come into the team, you'll find out at 4:20 local time who's going to be playing in the team. If they all come back and we are at full strength, I fully believe that the Dockers can get it done against the Demons. The Demons have got Max Gawn waiting in the wings. Whether he gets up for this game or not, we will see. But if he doesn't get up, I think that is massive. Sean Darcy and Luke Jackson versus Petty and Van Rooyen, that's a demolition job waiting to happen. So I'm really, really keen to see the selection front on Melbourne's side, because just Petty and Van Rooyen. I mean, they won the game and their coverage around the ground looked fine, especially in the second half with Van Rooyen, but no Max Gawn is huge. So I'm not going to count on Max Gawn not being there, because in all likeliness, the captain of the club is going to be there. However, I would probably, you know, he said 2 to 3 weeks. He's had 1 week off, so we will see. My official prediction is the Fremantle Dockers are going to win this one by 20 points on the dot. 20 points is going to be a competitive game. I think best on ground is going to be Sean Darcy. He's going to silence a lot of the haters, especially if Max Gawn plays and Darcy can put some early work into him. I think first goal is going to be kicked by Melbourne. I think Bailey Fritch is going to get off the leash against Heath Chapman. But that's normality for the Dockers, right? We give up the first goal or two and then we come back. So, and I think Josh Tracy's due for a big game. I don't think May or Lever are really prepared to follow the lead of Josh Tracy, because I think he's a very hard man to stop when he gets out on a lead. One to watch for the Demons, I think, is Trent Rivers. He's been fantastic since moving into the midfield. He's coming home to WA, so I think he's going to put on an absolute show. Maybe we put a body on him early. Not sure how we deal with that. Clayton Oliver's been up and down all year. He could have a massive game. He could have 15 touches. We don't know yet. And for the Dockers, one to watch, once again, Hayden Young. He's the real difference maker for us going inside 50. So I'm really keen to go to this game. I hope the rain stays away so that we can sit in the sunshine and enjoy the game of footy. We are the favourites. I hope we win. And it's just another game, right? It's another 4 points, but I feel like this one has a little bit extra meaning to it just because of the point of the season we're at, the spot in the ladder we're at. We just have to win this one. But that's going to do it for me on this week's episode of the Flag Mantle podcast. I hope you all enjoyed. If you're listening to this on the radio, on Boom Radio, thank you very much for listening, because this is a new platform for us, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. So head over to my Instagram at Flagmantle Podcast. Shoot me a follow. Let me know what you think. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Flag Mantle Podcast. If you have made it this far, please leave us a review on whatever streaming site you use to access the Flag Mantle Podcast. And don't forget, we've got social media too, over at the Flag Mantle Podcast on Instagram and X. So go follow us there. Send us a cheeky DM and you might get a response. We'll see. Thank you for listening once again, and I'll see you all next time.